Liberosity Book Talks with Adriana Rodolfo
and John Cook.
This time on Liberosity, we will be discussing books with unreliable narrators.
Unreliable narrator is a literary term that I encountered while researching the book The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebold. Neither John nor I had ever heard of this term and decided to investigate.
If you do a quick search of the term, you can find several websites with the same information. But for our purposes, we define the unreliable narrator as a narrator in fiction who cannot be completely trusted for some reason.
Most common reasons include mental illness or youthful naivete. Some narrators may be dead, biased, or hiding something.
This literary technique is not a new one. However, it seems to have proliferated in the late 1960s and 70s. In my opinion, every book or every story contains an unreliable narrator. The distinction is that some storytellers deceive the readers on purpose.
This deception creates a mystery-like element to some of the books. You have to read between the lines to discover the truth. Your perception of what is real can oftentimes shift as you progress through the story and you act as both reader and detective.
After researching titles, I read some really good books that I would have otherwise overlooked.
I had a difficult time with this subject, frequently feeling that the books touted as unreliable narrators failed to live up to my expectations. However, I did notice a correlation between books with this label and movies made based off of them. I feel that unreliable narrators translate well onto the screen because, while we may be likely to doubt what we read, we are more likely to believe what we see, therefore adding an extra layer of suspense.
The following books range from different time periods and are written in different styles with their own unique characteristics. Unreliable narrators are not restricted to a specific genre. Rather, they appeal to readers who like to be challenged by unconventional stories.
The Moonstone by Wilkie Collins is a good illustration for the argument that every first-person narrator is unreliable to some extent. Each person's story is going to reflect his or her own biases and will emphasize certain matters over others. Written in 1868, The Moonstone is considered one of the first detective novels ever written and is told by no less than 6 narrators. Despite being labeled sensational in its time, it is relatively tame by today's standards. The crux of the story surrounds the presentation of a large yellow diamond, rumored to be stolen from a Hindu idol, to an English girl for her 18th birthday. The diamond, called the Moonstone, is stolen that very night from the girl's bedroom cabinet. Each narrator writes an account contributing his interpretation of the events from the Moonstone's loss to the discovery of the truth, and finally to the Moonstone's resurfacing. Slowly over the course of the book, pieces of the puzzle start to fit together and previous ideas, theories, and characters are challenged or shown in new light. The Moonstone is an apt choice for a reader who wants to experience the beginnings of the mystery genre or for those who enjoy English domestic fiction. In addition to the whodunit, the book also offers a bit of romance and a cast full of distinctive, memorable, and realistically drawn characters.
Set in the early 1920s, The Egyptologist by Arthur Phillips tells the story of Ralph M. Trillipush, an aristocratic English explorer. Having discovered and translated the erotic poetry of the fabled king Atumhadu, he travels to Egypt to locate the pharaoh's tomb and claim its riches. Meanwhile, an Australian detective seeks to expose Trillipush for his involvement in the mysterious death of a young Australian Egyptologist. The mystery slowly unfolds through a series of contradictory letters, as both Trillipush and the detective interpret and remember events differently. As the story progresses, it becomes increasingly difficult to determine where fact ends and illusion begins. The reader is left guessing until the shocking ending is fully revealed on the very last page of the novel.
In The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon, Christopher John Francis Boone is no ordinary 15-year-old boy. He's brilliant in math, but hates the colors brown and yellow. He's sensitive to light and noise and can't bear to be touched. Facts and figures are more interesting to him than everyday human interactions, thus making his relationships with people tricky. However, when Christopher's neighbor's dog, Wellington, is killed, he decides to risk his solitude and investigate the crime. Christopher's journey will lead him to face the world as he's never had to before, discovering secrets about his parents that his autism makes difficult to process. Haddon brings the reader into the boy's world of order, not just with prose, but also with Christopher's own diagrams, drawings, and charts. Through Christopher's narration, the reader witnesses emotionally charged scenes through completely passive eyes, a rare glimpse into the inner workings of an individual whose condition is both a burden and a gift. The curious incident of the dog in the nighttime is humorous, heartbreaking, and above all, enlightening.
In Low Boy by John Ray, William Heller is a 16-year-old boy suffering from a severe case of paranoid schizophrenia. Upon release from a psychiatric hospital, he escapes into the vast subway tunnel system running underneath New York City. Will believes that the world is being destroyed by climate change and that he alone holds the key to the planet's salvation. To cool down the planet, he must first cool down his overheating body. As William embarks on his righteous quest, his illness prevents him from functioning in normal society. As a result, he finds refuge in New York City's sordid underbelly, associating with drug addicts, prostitutes, and other mentally ill, all forgotten or ignored by the rest of modern society. Meanwhile, William's mother, Violet, enlists the help of missing persons specialist Ali Latif to help locate her son before his psychosis claims him completely. But Violet has more at stake than the safety of her only child. In this intense and deeply disturbing read, Ray transports the reader into the depths of William's mind, offering a glimpse of a world obscured by lurid hallucinations and bizarre paranoia. If these titles sound interesting, you might want to check out the following books. Set in a dystopian future in California, A Scanner Darkly by Philip K. Dick is a semi-autobiographical story. Bob Arctor lives in a household of drug users and is addicted to a powerful narcotic called Substance D, which slowly splits the user's personality. Bob does not know that he is also a police officer, Agent Fred, and that he is spying on himself.
In I Am the Cheese by Robert Cormier, teenager Adam Farmer is riding his bike from Massachusetts to Vermont to visit his father. Interspersed with this plot thread are sessions between Adam and Brent, who might be a psychiatrist, and discussions of Adam's past. However, as Adam progressively gets more paranoid and his narrations slowly lose credibility, the reader is left wondering who to trust. To read these novels, or to discover ones like them, make sure to visit your public library.
This has been a production of Liberosity Book Talks. Thanks for listening.